Translation. Within the house of Maharaj, of Nanda Maharaj, the cowherd ladies would enjoy seeing the pastimes of the babies, Rama and Krishna. The babies would catch the ends of the calves' tails, and the calves would drag them here and there. When the ladies saw these pastimes, they certainly stopped their household activities and laughed and enjoyed the incidents. In response, please. Within the house of Maharaj Nanda, the cowherd ladies would enjoy seeing the pastimes of the babies. Ram and Krishna. The babies would catch the ends of the calves' tails, and the calves would drag them here and there. When the ladies saw these pastimes, they certainly stopped their household activities and laughed and enjoyed the incidents. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. While crawling in curiosity, Krishna and Balaram would sometimes catch the ends of the tails of the calves. The calves, feeling that someone had caught them, would begin to flee here and there, and the babies would hold on very tightly, being afraid of how the calves were moving. The calves, seeing that the babies were holding them tightly, would also become afraid. Then the ladies would come to rescue the babies and gladly laugh. This was their enjoyment. Omigan timirandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam jena tasmai shri guruve namaha. Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhuta Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Rishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is carrying on the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. And as we said the other day, this is the essence of the 10th canto, when Shukadeva Goswami leaned forward to Maharaj Parikshit and said that, you know, Mother Yashoda thinks Krishna is her child. This is amazing. Similarly, later on in the Bhagavatam, in the 12th chapter, there's one verse similar. It says, Itam satam brahma sukhanabhucha dasham gatanam paradaivatena maya shritanam paradarakena sakam vijaru kritapunya punja. And it's saying that, you know, people in this world, mostly they're into sense gratification. And therefore, they can't understand Krishna at all. They think he's an ordinary person when he comes to this world. So that's one level. And then the next level is that, you know, people decide that this material world is just too difficult. You know, let me surrender to the impersonal aspect of the Lord and, you know, develop proper understanding of life. And it says they can't understand either. They think the Lord is... Actually, it doesn't say that. It says something else. It says that people are worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead as this supreme controller, the most powerful person. It says that they are limited in their understanding of the absolute truth also. It says, you know, and then there's people who are, it does mention that there are those jnanis who are searching for the absolute truth by knowledge. And none of these individuals can understand Krishna in reality. It says they can't understand that Krishna, there's coward boys, simple coward boys. You know, even in the material world. I mean, we don't have so many coward boys now. It's usually tractors and so many other things. But, you know, coward boys. It says people cannot understand that these coward boys have, after attaining heaps and heaps, as Prabhupada says, of pious activities, Krita Punya Punja, they're now playing with Krishna as a coward, as a friend. And so it's the same sort of thing. He's saying that, you know, illusion means to forget our real constitutional position, our real nature, and think we're something else. And we're just caught up in that lifetime after lifetime. And we cannot understand the simple fact that we can enjoy, you know, life just by reciprocating with Krishna, just by performing these pious activities. So what are those pious activities? You know, this shows Krishna's, actually, a Krura. Is it a Krura or Vidura? Vidura, that's right. And he missed seeing Krishna before he left this world. He was on pilgrimage due to being thrown out of the palace by Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra. And he heard that Lord Krishna would soon be, that the Yadu dynasty would soon be, you know, there was a fratricidal war where they all killed one another. And so he knew that, actually, if Krishna's entourage are leaving, then Krishna will leave very soon. But it was too late. Uddhava made it in time, and he heard from Lord Krishna. And so Vidura inquired from Uddhava, what did he say? And Uddhava said, go to Maitreya. You know, he's more learned. He wasn't more learned, actually, but he was performing the proper etiquette. He's actually senior to me. But before he told him to go to Maitreya, he said to Vidura, before the Lord left this world, he asked after you, where is Vidura? How is he doing? And then Vidura just broke down in tears out of, you know, he understood that the Lord's compassion. So that's what Krishna feels for the living entity in this material world. He's just full of compassion. He's always thinking about the conditioned souls. And so he arranges all these different processes of purification. You know, karma kanda means I just want to enjoy, but, you know, I'll follow the Shastra. And then karma yoga, I still want to enjoy, but I want to do it in, you know, I want to make some spiritual advancement. Jnana yoga, I've had enough. I've had enough. It's just too much. You know, I try to make an effort into enjoying, and I get twice as much suffering back. So this, a little bit of intelligence is starting to manifest, you know. And then we talk to, you know, come to the point of Kevala Bhakti. Oh, there's different forms of Bhakti. There's Sakam Karma Yoga Bhakti. This means that we want to enjoy, I want to enjoy, but then, oh, go on then, I'll give it to Krishna. I'll give some to Krishna. It's like a second best. I really want to enjoy, but I know it's the right thing to do, so begrudgingly, I'll give it to Krishna. Sakam Karma Yoga. This is Bhakti, actually. First stage of Bhakti. And then there's Nishkam Karma Yoga Bhakti. This means that I want to do what I want to do, what my propensity is, but I'll give it to Krishna. We've already made that. So where are we? What platform are we on? Actually, if we want to be, we can be above all these platforms. Why? Because Bhagavad Gita tells us about all these different transcendental processes, and it says, but, remember that word yesterday, too, but, if one is fortunate enough to approach a pure devotee and take shelter of him by initiation and, you know, inquire from him submissively, then one can make rapid advancement very quickly and avoid all this entanglement. It means doing what the pure devotee says, that's all. Okay, come with me. Forget about all this, you know, rituals, gradually coming to the point of bhakti, and probably not making it anyway by being distracted by so many of the opulences of this world. Then just follow me. Prabhupada said, to the degree that you follow what, he was asked, what is the definition of a pure devotee? There's many definitions, actually. He says, to the degree that you follow my instructions, to that degree, you're a pure devotee. And then later on, Prabhupada said, just do what I do. But do we actually do that? You know, we do so many things. We just have to do what Prabhupada did. Bit too easy. It's a bit too easy. You know, I mean, it can't be that. You know, we've got to follow. I remember when I was in Manchester, the Ekadashi book came out by Krishna Balaram Swami. And we were reading, wow, look at that. If we perform this Ekadashi and stop up all night chanting and fast, we're looking at the benefits. I'm going to do it. And the temple president said, don't do this. Put me in a few brahmacharis. He's in Maya, you know. He's in Maya. He's not doing it. So we started doing this, and after, you know, a few weeks, and being completely wiped out the next day, and, you know, being like a zombie, we thought, maybe there's an easier way to do it than this. And so we look for the hard... The point I'm making is that we look for the hard way, don't we? Bhakti yoga is simple for the simple. But it means, you know, being submissive. This is the point. So what is that simple process? Well, there's, you know, we have to, there's the ascending process which we've just been talking about. We try to do it on our own volition. And then there's the descending process. And this is described in the Nectar of Instruction, descending process, in the preface. And the Nectar of Instruction, actually, it starts with somebody who haven't got a clue about devotional service. And it finishes up on the banks of Radha Kund in 11 verses. So, you know, whatever it says in the Nectar of Instruction, which is about that thick, it must be pretty important, would you say so? You know, there's not much elaboration. It's like, boom, there it is. So what it says in the Nectar of Instruction, in the preface, it mentions three things we should follow in the footsteps of previous devotees. So what we've just been saying, Prabhupada said, do as I do. And the second one is, we should control the senses. So by controlling the senses, then we can start to understand Krishna. We can focus. Unless the senses are controlled, there's no focus in life. Like in Bhagavatam class, we have to control the mind. We have to control the... We have to pray to the deity of sleep. Please be merciful to me today. And she is. We're like Kumbhakarna. You know, we have to wake up, wake up. We have to, you know, this is controlling the senses. You know, and this brings a third point. The third point is attitude. If we have the right attitude, we'll be able to do all the other things. The right attitude means, you know, by the descending process means we're relying on other people to enlighten us. So we have to have the key for, you know, opening their mercy. And that mercy is coming from humility. This is, you know, it says attitude. Tad vidi pranipatina, pranipashana sevaya, upatekshantite again, jnana stattva darshanaha. So devotional service is very simple. We follow the instructions of the previous acharyas, especially Prabhupada and Rupa Goswami. We endeavour to control the senses. And the last one is by this, we have the proper attitude, we have a positive attitude. Then we can come from, Prabhupada in these books, it was very empowered to write these books. These books are for the highest transcendentalists. Srimad Bhagavatam, Amalam Puranam, no material contamination in there. It's for the highest transcendentalists. And yet he was writing them. He says, these books are meant for my devotees. So they're also for the most fallen. So Krishna empowered Prabhupada to put in these purports in such a way that we can, a neophyte can derive the greatest benefit from them, and somebody who's advanced in devotional service can get the greatest bliss, can become really enlivened in devotional service. So this is a measure of devotional service. How are we becoming satisfied in devotional service? What's that word? Bhakti pareshana bhava viraktir. Anishre chestrika ekakala. Prabhadyama nasha yatastana shush. Tushti pushti shud apayo nugasam. So here in the 11th canto, it's been explained that, bhakti or devotion, when we perform bhakti, we feel some satisfaction. Paresh vanabhava. Why are we saying this? We're saying this because this is what we should be looking for in our life. If we're feeling these things, then we know that the process is working, but if we're actually getting direct experience, which is the next one, bhakti pareshana bhava, we're actually starting to appreciate Krishna. We're actually starting to see Krishna working in our lives. Is anybody seeing Krishna working in their lives? Yeah? Everybody's seeing Krishna working in their lives, even the materialists, but they don't recognize that it's Krishna. That's the thing. We have to recognize that, Krishna's in every situation. Is that right? But we usually think Krishna's in every situation except this one. Sometimes we think like that. He can't possibly be in this situation. But if we can think like that, then we can see Krishna in the situation. So bhakti means satisfaction. We should have satisfaction in devotional service. Pareshana bhava, we should have nourishment. Not nourishment. We should be able to perceive Krishna in our lives. And last one is viraktir. Attachment to devotional things should be going further and further away. We should be becoming more and more detached. And how can we practically understand this? It's just like, soon, it'll not be long, don't worry, it's soon be prasadam time. And at prasadam time, we experience three things while eating. We experience pleasure. What's the next one? Nourishment. We become strong. And the last one is we start to lose our appetite. We become satisfied. So this is the signs that we're looking for in devotional service. And if there's any anxiety, then we have to analyze, where is that anxiety coming from? If it's causing us a problem, then it means we're missing out on these three things. We're letting the mind start to come into play, which is what Uttama Shloka was speaking about yesterday. The mind, it's like it's another living entity. Lord Krishna really placed a lot of emphasis on the mind. He was speaking to Arjuna, and he was calling him Mahabaho. This means mighty armed one. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, actually, I'll really call you Mahabaho if you can control the mind. This is the biggest enemy. So gradually by this process, then we can come to understand these pastimes in the 10th canto. And so we cannot artificially do that. If we artificially try to do that, it becomes a lusty activity. It's for our own sense gratification. So we have to also watch the devotional service is for Krishna's satisfaction. This is the other consideration. I know from my own point of view, I'm performing devotional service, I'm always wanting to be satisfied, but I'm looking for it directly a lot of the time, instead of looking for it through the service. And so then we tend to totter on the platform of becoming a little bit of a materialistic devotee. It's called Prakriti Sahaja. And we check that tendency, because otherwise we take devotional service cheaply and we start to think we're on a platform which we're not on. And the material energy starts to fan that flame. So we're always aware of that, you know, Prabhupada said, do the simple things. When devotees asked him about their particular situation in devotional service, their siddha swarup, Prabhupada wouldn't be very happy. He would just say, you know, you just carry on performing devotional service the way I'm doing it. Everything will be revealed to the devotee who's practicing with proper attention in the proper way. How can we give an example of wrong or proper practice of devotional service? We can follow in the highest devotees, which we're speaking about here in Vrindavan, like the gopis, for instance. In the 29th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the gopis were going about their daily activities, and Krishna remembered that it was time to fulfill a promise to the gopis. So he started to play his Venu flute. And, the sound coming from the Venu flute was so attractive that the gopis became infatuated. And they just left everything, whatever they were doing, and they ran into the forest to see Krishna in the middle of the night. And it's explained that some of them, they didn't make it. Although they husbands and the fathers of these gopis, they tried to stop the gopis from running into the forest. But some of them, they actually managed to stop. And it's explained that there were different types of gopis. Some of them were from the Devakanya gopis. They were from the heavenly planets who took birth on the earthly planet after pious activities to perfect their life in the devotional service. There was the Rishi Chari gopis. Those were the sages at Naimasharanya who wanted Lord Krishna as their paramour. But Lord Ramachandra said that I only have one wife in this particular pastime. You'll have to wait while Krishna comes, while Krishna appears. So they appeared later also in this pastime. And then there's, what we missed out? Devakanya, Rishi Chanya. Shruti Chari gopis. These are Vedas personified. And last, the Gopakanya gopis. That's the Nityasiddha gopis. And so, you know, even when it comes to this platform of almost perfection, once come to the point of being able to engage in Krishna's pastimes, some of the gopis, they couldn't make it to see Krishna, because they'd still got some misunderstanding about Krishna and the misunderstanding of devotional service. And so, you know, they were by that doubt in their minds, they couldn't have enough faith to get past their husbands and their fathers. So in the Bhagavad Gita, it mentions this doubt, that it has to be cleared away. Tasmata gyan sambhutam. I mentioned this yesterday, I think, or the day before. Ritstanam gyanisatmanha. Chitvenam shamshayam yogam. Atishto atishto bharat. And Krishna saying to Arjuna, after speaking the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Transcendental Knowledge, says, therefore the doubt which has arisen in your heart out of ignorance should be slashed with the weapon of your knowledge. Armed with yoga, O Bharat's fight. So by practice of devotional service, automatically, if we practice properly, we get transcendental knowledge. And that transcendental knowledge is faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and faith of in the process of devotional service. And faith that, ultimate faith means that Shraddha Shabde Vishwaskai Surijanishchai Krishna Bhakta Sava Karma Karma Kritahai. That simply by performing devotional service in the wake of the spiritual master, then everything will be fulfilled. We don't have to worry about anything else. So this is real transcendental knowledge. And some of the gopis, they didn't have that, not to the fullest extent. And so they were held back. And then what happens when we fail a test? And we've got all the, you know, we've got all the tools, we've got the proper scripts, we've got the proper association, and yet we still don't manage to get through a certain particular obstacle or test. How do we feel? Yeah, we're disappointed like anything, you know. It's like remorse. Is that remorse? Is that the word? Oh, a real deep remorse. He says, but that's good. Because the gopis are thinking, you know, we were almost there. And then we let this one doubt stop us from going towards Krishna. He says, so that remorse in the heart, he said, it gradually burnt up all their doubts and they became completely purified. So in devotional service, everything is beneficial. We succeed, it's beneficial. We fail, it's beneficial, because we have a time to reflect and reapply ourselves to the process. So this is what Lord Krishna is telling Arjuna. You know, doubt should be cleared from the heart. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, the nature of doubt is like a demon. It's within the heart. That's what Krishna said, O Madhusudan, destroy this demon of doubt within my heart. So we may be reading these pastimes, and it's difficult to really understand them properly. We've got some material counterparts, you know, relationships in the material world, which give us some idea, but we cannot understand the real transcendental feelings that are going on there. and so therefore, by the slow process of devotional service, actually, if we're too absorbed in materialistic life, we cannot understand them all. We can't even relate them to material life. But a devotee has some connection. So the gopis then, the ones that manage to see Krishna face to face, they ask Krishna, Krishna asked them, you know, why have you come? I mean, obviously he played the flute. He wanted them to come, but he was playing hard to get. And so, you know, the gopis, they put philosophical arguments towards Krishna. And Krishna first of all, actually, he gave philosophical arguments why, you know, they shouldn't be in the forest in the middle of the night. They're young girls. You know, it's dangerous to be there. It's not Dharma. And he told them, he says, don't be silly. Just go back home and, you know, service in separation. This is the highest. We were saying that the other day, weren't we? Vipralamba Seva. Service in separation is higher. And by this service in separation, the heart will become purified, and then we can actually we can meet. But they said, we have your darshan immediately. Everything else is second best to this. So why do we need to go back and meditate? And so actually, they defeated Krishna. And so Krishna started the Ras dance. And you know, we're just trying to understand Krishna's nature. How we should develop that faith and be freed from doubt about Krishna's motive for reciprocating with the living entity. If we have some motive for doing something, We'll naturally think other people are motivated the same way. It's just, that's the way things are. Atman and Manite Jagat. We think everybody thinks like us. So we have to overcome that misconception. And so we can understand this by this pastime with Krishna and the gopis, that the gopis started to feel proud because under the influence of Yogamaya, they were thinking that each gopi thought Krishna's dancing with me. And so they were feeling a little proud. And so that gave Krishna an opportunity to leave the gopis. And so when Krishna left, the gopis became distraught. They were searching for Krishna everywhere. And eventually they saw Krishna's footprints and they followed. And they saw two footprints. And then they realized that there's actually another gopi with Krishna. Then after some time, they went a little bit further into the forest and there was only one set of footprints. And then they realized that even that gopi had become abandoned. And so they met Radharani. Radharani also became proud. Is that possible? So we can just see that, you know, pride is something of the material world. So what was the nature of that pride? And the Acharyas explained that the pastime potency created within the gopis a feeling of pride. They weren't actually materially proud. And just to facilitate, though, so that Krishna doesn't like pride. Krishna immediately decided that I don't like pride in my devotees, so he went away. And then, you know, that feeling of separation the gopis felt increased their devotional feelings. So this is why Krishna did it. He knew that the gopis were dissatisfied with their feelings of devotion towards the Lord. They wanted to increase it. This is the nature of devotional service. So Krishna reciprocated with that in an indirect way. So their feelings increased, and then eventually there was Sambhoga, there was a meeting again. And so devotional service was expanded. So Krishna wasn't selfish at all. Krishna was just dealing with what his devotees wanted and trying to reciprocate in that way. And so these pastimes we're hearing about where the Krishna and Balaram, they're being pulled through the urine and the cow stool and by the tails of the calves. This is all for the satisfaction of his devotees. Krishna sometimes does have a desire to increase his satisfaction. Because we're of the same nature, we're an Annamaya Bhiyasat. Krishna also is an Annamaya Bhiyasat, always pleasure seeking. And this Damodar Leela we were speaking about the other day is explaining this point, that we were talking about when Krishna woke up and he saw his mother churning yogurt, and there was a little bit of a dialogue going between Krishna's earrings and Mother Yashoda's earrings and Krishna. And then Prema came and said, why don't you just approach Mother Yashoda? And there was a conversation, and Prema eventually said to Krishna, why did you send everybody out of the village? There's nobody left in the village. And Krishna said that I wanted to perform a super excellent pastime where all the devotees feel a bliss they've never experienced before. And I want to experience that as well. He says, I see that, I bind the conditioned souls to devotional service. I bind the Brijvasis to in devotion to me. He says, but nobody binds me. I don't know what it's like to feel bound to the devotee in love. And so I want to be bound by Mother Yashoda's love. And if all the Brijvasis were here, they wouldn't allow Mother Yashoda to bind me. So that's why Krishna decided that it was time that the Brijvasis went to another village for that particular day. So yeah, Krishna does have that desire. But still, it's all based around reciprocating with his devotees. So anyway, we can stop there. Does anybody have any comments or any questions?